Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Lord God, we are here to glorify your name. Let the whole world lift up your name, Lord Jesus. We are so thankful and grateful that you have given us hope. You've given us light in a dark world and hope in difficult circumstances. You are the eternal God, unshakable, always loving, always caring. So even in a season like this one, one where there are Christmas carols and singing and lights and merriment and celebration, we know that we are not exempt from difficulties and problems that come into our lives on a regular basis. And so we do pray. We pray for those people who are suffering, who are rebuilding from the earthquake in Alaska, that you would be with our friends up there and help them to be restored, and how difficult that is, especially in this season when they were planning not to repair, but to have a great season. We think about those who have suffered so much in California. They have gone from fires to floods. Lord, be with those people as they rebuild, and we pray somehow, most of all in that debacle, that people's lives could be rebuilt and those who haven't known you or haven't known where to turn would discover that you are the hope of the world and they would turn their hearts to you. We pray for our missionaries today, Dave and Barb Knutson from Wycliffe, who have served you faithfully over the years and been involved in significant translation work so that many people could have the Word of God in their own language. And they've retired, but they still want their lives to count. They still want to make a difference. And so they're asking for people to pray for them that they would know next steps. And so God, be with them, we pray, and that they could see some wonderful next steps to use their experience and their heart to serve you and bless the people around them. And we pray for this church, Lord, that this Christmas would be more than ever an outreach, that this would be a light on a hill, that there would be love extended from this group of people so that many, as we lift up Jesus, would be drawn to you and would have a new birth experience. And they can look back to Christmas season of 2018 when they came alive to Jesus Christ and how grateful they would be, they and their marriage, their family, all of that, God. And so we pray that we would be about your business. And we continue to pray for the pastoral search process. God, be with that. And so that you would lead and guide those who serve on that committee, and that right person, that right pastor is out there for this church and their family. And what a joy that will be in your good time. And now, Lord, there are some people that maybe we want to be praying for. And so we're just going to take a minute in quiet to lift those up to you in silent prayer. Lord, thank you for hearing our prayers, and thank you for your answers, for your great love and faithfulness to us. Bless us now as we look at the Word. Open our hearts and our minds to it, that we may understand it and that we may respond in obedience and joy. And all God's people said, amen. Amen, yeah. About 15 years ago now, Bob moved into our neighborhood. And let me tell you, Bob was a great neighbor. He was friendly. You could just sit down and have a cup of coffee and a good conversation with him. He was interested in what was going on in life. He was interested in what was going on in my life. Bob was fun. As I got to know him, we would go out and golf together. We lived next door to them, and we lived on a 9-hole golf course. And it's always nice having a golfing buddy, you know? It's hard to golf alone. Although you can tell some stories after that maybe you couldn't tell if you had a golfing buddy, but let's not go there. And Bob was smart. He knew everything there was to know about fixing up and remodeling a house. He had just done that with his own home. And so I'd often ask him home repair stuff because I didn't know stuff like that. And he knew a lot of stuff about computers. He was a computer guru. Actually, that was his job. If Faith or I had a computer glitch, which from time to time we did, I'd call Bob. And he'd always know how to fix it. And Bob was interested in the things of God. We'd talk about that too. And I asked him, and he would go with me to the men's morning Bible study. And he wouldn't have to because it was early. It's like kind of the Wednesday Bible study at the coffee shop they have here. About 6 in the morning, there's a lot of guys that say, you know what, I don't think so. But Bob would go with me. Let me just say this. When Bob moved into our neighborhood, my life got a whole lot better. Good neighbors can do that for you. But as good as Bob was, just imagine what it would be like for Jesus to move into your neighborhood. What it would be like for Jesus to move into your neighborhood. Today, I want to focus our time together on one simple question. Would it make a difference in your life if Jesus Christ moved into your neighborhood? And I ask this question simply because that's what happened on the first Christmas. The Bible tells us in John 1:14, I love it in the Message, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. And the Word that is talked about here is just another name for Jesus Christ. We're going to talk more about that next week, but the Word, He is the full revelation of God. He's the last Word, the first Word of what God is like. And so He came to live among us. Us. All of us. It's the people down the street or on the farm next door. It's the people who are doing great and the people who are really struggling. It's the young, from the youngest child to the oldest senior citizen and everybody in between. It's those who attend church and those who are in prison. It's Christians and Muslims and Buddhists and Hindus. It's us, all of us. Jesus came to live among us. And so in the NIV, verse 14 says, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This fall, as you know, we have been encountering Jesus in the Gospel of John. In every chapter, Jesus has revealed another wonderful and amazing side of Himself. However, there are still some amazing parts of Jesus that we have overlooked. We moved past the first part of John chapter 1 this fall so that we could come back to it this Christmas. In the first part of John 1, we discover the Christmas story from John's point of view. And it's an amazing story of God's Son, Jesus, becoming the personal Word to us. And so my goal during our Christmas series would be this. I want us all to know Jesus, the neighbor who has come to dwell among us, to be close to us and to help us whatever we're going through. So today we're going to begin by looking at what it would be like if Jesus moved into our neighborhood. Well, Jesus moved into our neighborhood, and here in verse 14, to do two things it talks about. First of all, to show us His glory. To show us His glory. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only. Glory reveals God. Jesus came to earth to reveal God to us, up close and personal. Now, in a limited way, we can imagine what God is like. The Apostle Paul reminds us that we can reflect on who God is and we can reflect on His glory by looking at creation, Romans chapter 1. Since what may be known about God is plain to us, because God has made it plain to us, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. Last Friday, as I was driving up to I Falls from the cities, the scenery was amazing. It was a somewhat foggy mysterious kind of morning. But the pine trees on both sides, it's like they had been flocked. They were just covered with snow. And it was like driving into a winter wonderland. And we can all think of those beautiful moments that we spend out in God's creation that are amazing, that are inspiring. And I know that you guys have a lot of that around you here, don't you? It's one of the reasons why some of you people like to live in this part of the world, because it is beautiful. But sometimes the creation is so beautiful that it takes our breath away. Over the years, I have from time to time looked at some pictures from the Hubble telescope about what our creation looks like. And recently I asked Melanie and Emma to look that up and put it on the screen. But these are some pictures from outer space. They're light years away, and we'll probably never, ever see them in our lifetime. But this is some of what God's creation looks like. Isn't that amazing? You see that kind of thing. You see that kind of beauty and immensity and power, and you just realize how great our God is. That is a picture of glory. That is a picture of glory. And all of this points to the one who needed no help in creation. God has revealed his eternal attributes to us through the world and the universe that he created. But just in case we didn't get it, Jesus moved into our neighborhoods so that we could see the glory of God up close and personal. Jesus stilled the storm and raised Lazarus from the dead. That's a glimpse of God's glory. Jesus touched the lepers and made them whole. That's a glimpse of God's glory. Jesus healed the sick and drove out evil spirits and set people free. That's a glimpse of God's glory. He fed the 5,000 and walked on water. That's a glimpse of God's glory. Jesus, the sinless Son of God, reveals who God is. He's a God of truth and holiness and righteousness and justice. And from Jesus, we know that God created us for relationship with himself. God created us to be holy. God created us to share in his glory and reflect his purity. And yet we struggle with that. A couple weeks ago in Wilmer, we experienced the beauty of a snowfall, just kind of like you had last Thursday. It was just enough to kind of cover everything and make it white and pure and pristine. And whenever I see that view, I always like it like the first thing in the morning before anything is disturbed, and you look out in this world and you go, wow, what a sight that is. But it doesn't take too long, does it, before that pristine whiteness becomes dirty slush. Just because we pass through it, we shovel it, we salt it, we sand it, we plow it. And it isn't until the next snowfall comes and covers all the dirt that we see the truly magnificent whiteness again. I think that's a picture of life. You see, my friends, we were created to live holy in pure lives like the fresh snowfall. We were created to share in God's glory and righteousness. But instead, we chose the slush. We chose sin. The Bible tells us all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's you and that's me. We fell short of God's glory. Just imagine what we could have had. When you see some of those pictures and you think how amazing this God is, but we fell short, we missed out. And we can live lives that do not reflect the glory of God if we're honest. We can be selfish, we can be petty, we can be spiteful, argumentative, lustful, or greedy, or just plain disobedient, even at Christmas. So Jesus has come to show us God's glory. And our response? I think about it this way. On the one hand, if Jesus was to move in next door to you, you'd go, wow, isn't that great? I've got Jesus living next door to me. On the other hand, you'd go, wow, I've got Jesus living next door to me. Pull the shades. Close the blinds. You know what it's like to live too close to a neighbor. You don't want them looking into your windows. You know what? Sometimes I don't think we're comfortable with Jesus moving into our neighborhood because he knows too much and he sees too much and he knows what's deep within our hearts. And so we do want to pull the blinds and hope that he doesn't see who we really are. Because when we see how far short we have fallen from God's glory, we think Jesus has moved into the neighborhood to straighten us out so we can fly right. We think he's come to judge us, not to be our neighbor. We don't think that Jesus could ever love somebody like us. He wouldn't want to spend time with us, not if he really knew what we were like. And the trouble is, he does. And so sometimes we can see that when God comes up close and personal and Jesus is that neighbor who comes to live with us, we're almost kind of like, I don't know about that. That's what I like about this text, because not only did Jesus come to show us God's glory, he came to show us God's grace. He came to show us God's grace. Who came from the Father full of grace and truth. And the good news for all of us here this morning is the truth that we can't become clean again by ourselves. We can't pull that off. We can't become the pure and glorious people that God desired in the first place. Our lives have become clogged with sin and it's taken its toll on us. And so we need help. We need God's help. Let me tell you a story and see if that might illustrate what I'm talking about here. I remember several years ago, on a Sunday morning, when I got a call from my wife. It was in December, and she was telling me the furnace was not working. And the temperature outside the house and inside the house were both frigid. We desperately needed heat. So she had called the gas company, and they said, no problem. We're glad to send somebody right out tomorrow, on Monday. Now, did I mention that it was really cold? Yeah, it was really cold. So I asked around at the church that morning, and one of the men told me who they use to fix furnaces. So I called that person, and they sent somebody out in an hour. The heat was back on, life was good, awesome. Monday morning. I got up, kind of had my quiet time as I sat by the Christmas tree with a cup of hot coffee. And as I sat there, I realized, you know, I think it's kind of cold in here. I think it's kind of getting colder. You guessed it, the furnace was not working again. So I called the same place again. They came out in half an hour, and this time they had to clean out some kind of sludge. It was in the pipes that had blocked the airflow, shutting off the furnace. Okay, heat was restored. Tuesday morning, first phone call of the morning was from a staff member at church. He wasn't going to make it to staff meeting, but he asked for the phone number of the furnace repair guy we had called because their furnace was out. The family was huddling around a gas fireplace downstairs. Well, that same guy came out. We were on a first-name basis by then. And once again, they had their heat restored. Wednesday morning of that same week, my wife's mom called early that morning to say their furnace had stopped. Now, I might be slow, but I started to think, God, is this just a coincidence, or what are you trying to say here? So here's what I came up with. You can see if this flies or not. We all need heat, especially in this cold climate. Do I hear an amen? Yeah, you guys, if anybody understands, right? We need an outside source of heat to keep us warm, to keep us alive. We need something bigger than ourselves, something outside of ourselves to keep us warm and healthy. Our own body heat is not sufficient on really cold days. And if you just stick to that and you don't get some other source of heat, it's called hypothermia, okay? We need furnaces and fireplaces and sources of heat, and we need to keep those furnaces clean and maintained or they won't work. Well, likewise, it's the same thing with our hearts. We need the furnace of God's love. I mean, we want to experience His love. We need His love. But without realizing it, it is so easy to allow spiritual sludge to build up in our hearts. The spiritual sludge of sin and selfishness preventing the Holy Spirit from breaking through and breathing His life and His love into us. That's why Jesus came to move into our neighborhoods. He came to show us God's glory so that He could then extend to us God's grace. Now, I don't know what you need from God this morning, but He does. Most of us, all we need is just a good neighbor. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. God knows that, and we know that. And the good news today is that whatever need you have, and there's always sludge in our lives to deal with, let's face that. It could be sin issues or relationship issues. It could be health issues or job issues, and we all have issues. Jesus is the only one who can help. And I want you to picture this. Jesus is your neighbor, and He walks over to your house, and He says, "Here I am, neighbor. I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me." And all you need to do is open the door and invite him in. And by the way, that verse which we often use for salvation, it is a great salvation verse, but it's more than that. You see, Jesus comes to your heart's door a lot and He knocks because He's one of those persistent neighbors. He's a good neighbor. He wants to spend time with you. And so He's asking you to open up the door of your heart on a regular basis for cleansing, for restoration, for fellowship, for guidance, for provision, for friendship, for a lot of things. You know, just like I needed and enjoyed my neighbor Bob, take the time to get to know your neighbor Jesus. Take the time to enjoy your neighbor Jesus. Let's pray. Lord God, we come to You today, and we want to thank You that You are the one who has come to be our neighbor, to be up close and personal. And You came to us not to condemn us, but to save us. You came to us not to continually point out what's wrong, but to show us what's right. You came to us to help us and restore us. You came to be our Savior, our God, and our friend. You understand us better than we understand ourselves. And so this morning, You understand the sin issue in our lives. And right now, as we meet with You at the table, we want to make sure our hearts are pure and right before You so that we can partake in a worthy manner. So just take a moment right now. Take a moment and confess your sins to God. If there's anything standing between you and God, just make it a matter of silent prayer, and let's just take a minute for confession. Lord Jesus, thank you for your promise in your word. If we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So as we have confessed our sins to you today, we know that we can be clean and pure and holy before you because of your grace, because of your forgiveness, because of the cross, and your love for us. And for that, we give you thanks and praise. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.